Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Denver's home for today's comedy. Comedy 103.1 is Big Mike. Man, we got a true comedy vet over here, man. Over 20 years in the game, and he's back this weekend at Comedy Works South. Tom Papa, what's up, man?
Nice to see you. Thanks for having me.
Welcome back. This is the first time we've had you over here at Comedy.
I know.
And excited to have you here.
I know, but you know, I feel like I've been here before because people talk about your station a lot.
Yeah.
You have a really good comedy following, and whenever I come through, people are always like, I heard you on 103. I heard you.
Well, when we get like requests, people always call for Tom Papa. So, I mean, you know,
very nice.
They love you here in Colorado, man.
Yeah, that's very cool to hear. Well, nice to finally be here.
Well, I was going to say, you know, when you're getting ready and, you know, you got your calendar of what's coming up, when you see Denver come up, you know, a lot of people say Denver, like, you know, they have special feelings for that or whatever.
Yeah.
How's that feel for you, man, when you see Denver coming up?
It's like looking at an itinerary and seeing that you've got a spa weekend waiting for you. It's like, I literally, when I see Denver Comedy Works, I literally go,
The city of Denver needs to hire you for their, like,
it's gonna be, yeah, it's going to be good shows,
yeah.
Good people, love being in the city. Yeah. This is just, there's nothing wrong with this one.
And you lucked out. Like, Monday we had this random snowstorm.
I heard, a pretty big one,
now
right?
It's back to like 70, so, you know, it's good to go.
Yeah.
Wouldn't even know it's snowing.
But the trees look amazing right now.
Yeah.
You know, I come from L.A., and I'm originally from the East Coast, but so I crave all this stuff. But now I live in L.A. It's
the,
like,
palm trees don't have a good fall feel.
The only way you know that the seasons are changing is when they change the displays at CVS.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I guess it's Christmas.
But even then, the problem is they're doing everything like 3 months earlier now. They put Halloween stuff up in June.
Oh, and, man.
You know, Christmas stuff up in October.
You know who's the worst with that is Costco.
Are they?
Holy cow. Like, you literally go to Costco in the summer, and you're thinking, all right, I'll get all my Halloween stuff because they're ahead of it. No, it's all Christmas trees in July.
I remember in July I was driving around and there's a Halloween costume place called Spirit. They opened one of their stores. I'm like, it's July. And like, there was people walking in and I'm like, I get that people love Halloween. I mean, I'm a big fan of Halloween, but I'm not buying my costume in July because, number one, I don't know how much I'm going to gain or lose in that time frame. I don't know if it fits. So, man, people love Halloween. You like Halloween? You a Halloween guy?
I do like Halloween, but again, my kids love it. We have some really cool decorations. We got these cool skeleton banjo players, like motion by, and all very cool stuff. Very into it. Nice to have it. But I will not let the kids break stuff out until October 1st. Like, my daughter wants to start decorating as soon as school starts. I'm like, no. We're going to be so sick of it by the time it comes. And we live in L.A., which is the future of global warming.
Yeah.
These skeletons will be melted by the time.
Exactly.
You literally can't carve a pumpkin until the night of.
Because it seems like every year with Halloween, there ends up being that go-to. Everybody ends up I have a feeling everybody's going to dress up as Pennywise this year from the It movie.
For sure.
Like, that's going to be the go-to haunted house or any costume party you go to.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be the big one.
And like, I'm not necessarily scared of clowns. And I'm not scared of Pennywise, but if there's like 50 of them standing around, I might get a little anxious. Like, I might get a little like nervous just a tad.
I know. I went to see it, and I'm not that. Clowns aren't scary to me.
Yeah.
They really was never like, I know some people are really freaked out by clowns. They're annoying.
Yeah.
You know, nobody should look that excited.
Yeah.
That forced joy. Like, you know, there is definitely a carny aspect that creeps you out. But, not scared.
Yeah, I mean, obviously when he has, you know, all these sharp teeth coming out and all that, I mean, Bozo was more scared of me than it. I mean, Pennywise actually, like, I'd hang out with him down in the store. He seems like good
people.
It
wouldn't be too bad. I always like to pick a costume that has, like, that has a joke, like, attached to it. Like, last year I had a Hawaiian shirt, I had Band-Aids on my face and a neck brace and just shorts and a hat. And I was a tourist who survived a really bad accident.
Oh.
Right? So you have a little punchline yeah, yeah. when people ask what you are.
A little backstory.
Yeah.
I'm either extremely lazy or extremely innovative. Like, I just get the little thing that says, hi, my name is, and fill it with some, like, oh, I'm Ed Sheeran. I don't know. I don't put much work into it.
Yeah. You know, yeah. But, well, you're a grown-up.
Yeah. Well, and I'm a large grown-up. They don't make costumes in my size that often. So unless I'm getting a sheet that I'm just a ghost, but then like today's age, they might think I'm like KKK or something. So I don't want to get like anything crazy like that.
You could do
so.
John Candy. You could do John Candy from any one of his movies.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Okay, I need to get one of those.
Del Griffith, the little mustache. Yeah, do the Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I can do that. Carry like the tremble and do what he did in Home Alone. You know what? I like your way of thinking.
Yeah.
You set me up for Halloween.
This is good. I set you up for the next 5 years.
Exactly. At least five movies. I'm good to go.
Yeah.
So we got Tom Papa in here. He's at Comedy Works South at Landmark. There's a few tickets left at ComedyWorks.com, so go and get those. You know, comedy is not an easy business to get into, let alone do it for over 20 years. You know, how did this start for you? How did you start getting into comedy?
Well, I always wanted to do it since I was a kid. And then when I got out of school, I just started showing up at open mics and bringer shows in New York. Mm. My very first show was at the New York Comedy Club. In New York, I brought three friends who would pay to sit in the audience. I would get to go on stage.
Yeah.
And it was my three, and then I think there was like two other people. And the other comedian that was on was Greg Giraldo.
Oh, wow.
He was sitting there waiting to go on, sweating, freaked out, nervous. Yeah. And we became pals right then, and then that was it. I did my first show, and it went well enough, and it was exciting enough. Where that was it.
I was going to say, it's interesting hearing people's first show. That it's a 50-50 split. Some say it was a wreck. It was a bomb. Others say it was the best show they've ever done. But they're like, their second show sucked.
Yeah, and mine was somewhere in between because it was like it felt good for me. But there's literally five people in the audience and three of them are my friends. So it wasn't like you could say that I killed.
Were they supportive friends? Did they at least laugh at what you were doing? Okay, good.
Yeah, they were supportive for sure.
You don't want to bring dick friends to your first show. They're like, boo.
Yeah. We like the first guy better.
Yeah.
No, but it really wasn't about killing or bombing. It's just about being in that space and knowing that it felt like home.
Yeah,
this was like, all right, there's nothing else literally I should be doing.
Yeah.
You know? And then that was it. And then I just kept at it and just kept doing these bringer shows. Then you move up, they let you host a show and they let you. And the thing about doing it was so wild to me because I also was trying to get parts in things where you had to audition to be in things.
Yeah.
And it was like, that seems like a real crapshoot. But I remember hosting a night at the New York, Stand Up New York. And a young Jon Stewart was on the show. Ray Romano, who had his show out already. And Brett Butler came in to do something. And I was like, I am on the same show as these people. I was like, I really think I found a trap door into show business.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, all I have to do is be funny and I could be on the stage with Jon Stewart and Ray Romano. This is pretty cool.
That's
I think I can find a quick path here. You know?
I usually do the same thing, but I'm sitting in the audience. So it's like, I'm in the same room.
That's
as
cool,
Tom
too.
Papa right now. Like, I might have a future in this. I ignore that everybody else is sitting in the same spot, but, you know, it's cool.
That's no joke, though. Yeah. I think that's why people are really into it. It's like, wait, we get to sit there and they're not scripted. They can just sit there. They're going to riff and talk to us. And this is going to be this cool, like, a live thing that's only going to happen tonight.
Yep.
This show is purely just for now.
Yep.
That's pretty great.
Yeah.
You know?
And you're bringing that this weekend to Comedy Works South at the Landmark.
Well, lower your expectations.
Oh, okay. But you're right. Each individual show will be its own show, so you'll be good to go.
I'm sorry to jump on my own plug.
No, you're going to be good. And those tickets are at ComedyWorks.com, but not only are you doing the stand-up thing, you got your own podcast, and probably one of the best titles around, Come to Papa.
The Come to Papa podcast.
That's an awesome title. What made you want to get into the podcast world?
I started off with a radio show at Sirius XM, like interviewing different comedians, and then pulled it out and started doing it both. I still do it on Sirius, but as a podcast as well, because it just kind of, there's an intimacy with the fans that's you don't have through other things. Like, there's like, people are fans of your podcast, and we talk to them on Twitter, and they email us, and we have subscribers that, you know, We send them stuff, and it's really...
You might get a loaf of bread.
You know, you know? I mean, when fans meet you, right, like, who listen to the show, they really feel like they know you.
Yeah.
Right? There's a connection.
And you got, I mean, you got almost 400 episodes, and like, you know, some you'll see some people's podcasts, you might see them do one every other week, or one every month. Like, you're actually doing them several times a week, and I mean, thousands of people are listening to it.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I did this other thing where I would do these live shows, because I always liked Prairie Home Companion. I always loved that classic radio show that Garrison Keillor did. And so I started doing these live Come to Papas. And then off of that, which just literally happened last week, the Prairie Home people came to me and asked if I would help with their comedy.
Oh, cool.
So I'm now the head writer, and I appear weekly on Prairie Home Companion.
There you go.
Yeah, because of doing this, right? Yeah. Because of doing this radio stuff.
Where are they able to find your podcast at?
Just go on iTunes or SoundCloud or Stitcher, any place where there's podcasts.
Cool.
You can also just go to my website, go to tompapa.com, and that'll give you all the stuff. And and subscribe, and you know, become part of the Come to Papa family.
Well, we want to thank you for making time for us. Like I said, it's this weekend at Comedy Works downtown. It's Comedy Works south of Landmark, and beautiful weekend this weekend. Great weekend to get out and get some comedy and go check out Tom Papa, man.
So great, and thank you so much. And I really is no joke. I'm not blowing smoke. There's very few comedy successful radio shows in the country, and this is it.
Yeah.
You nailed it.
Yeah, we're about to have our fifth birthday party actually at Comedy Works South in here in just about 2 weeks. And
sweet.
We're excited to do it. And, man, we're excited for people like you to stop by that, you know, give us content to make people laugh, man, because there's not enough laughter in the world today. So
please send me a picture of your John Candy for this Halloween.
Okay, cool.
Please.
I'll get you.
Which one do you think you'll go with?
I'll probably have to get the lumberjack thing, with the hat and all that. I'll have to Google all his movies.
That'd be great. With the boots?
Yeah. I'll have to Google all of them, but probably that. What was that? The Great Outdoors? What was that?
The Great Outdoors. Oh, I thought you meant as Del Griffith when he had the ear flap hat.
Yeah. Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
I'll have to Google it. I'll have to Google all the
things. I can't wait. This could be big for you.
Well, Tom Papa, thank you so much. Go to comedy1031.com and go to comedyworks.com. Get your tickets, Tom Papa.
Thanks, man.
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh, my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.